670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Doug Whaley in with us for the final hour of the show. And football talk on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Pony revealed yesterday that his dad is in Tulsa King.
Yeah, his dad's at, you know, he has over 30 credits in movies, I think.
Over 30 credits?
I think something like that.
Ah, so he's got a SAG card.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Good for him.
Uh-huh. Including butt nudity.
What?
Wait, what?
His dad, his butt was on a movie.
Mm.
At 60 years old, he was.
Is he a body double, or that was just part of his scene?
You know what? Yeah. I didn't really.
Can you imagine going to the mailbox, getting that residual check, opening it up and being like, yes, and then looking back at your butt, thank you.
Yep.
For paying the bills.
Can I imagine that? No.
No.
No, I cannot. In fact, we were talking about theater in the last segment, and I got a quick theater story. So senior year, you know how it is. Senior year, that's my time to shine. I'm going to go get a big part senior year. Well, the Steelers, they win a Super Bowl, and we all go to the Steelers parade, skip school. Our audition is at the end of the school day. So I skip the entire day of school, ride the T back, come off, come to audition. I wanted to be Reverend Hale in The Crucible, but I did a terrible job memorizing the monologue because I was at the Steelers parade, and I read it off the script, and that was it.
That was it?
Mm-hmm. And I got really mad at Mrs. Schreiner, the theater teacher, but it wasn't her fault. It was me for failing to study for the role that I wanted.
That's the story?
Yeah. Great story. I mean, the story about that for mine.
Look at Doug trying to save it.
Yeah.
From the Steeler parade, riding on the back of a truck, on my phone, talking, having a good time. And it was back then I had the old flip phone. Close the flip phone, drop it in between the flatbed and the front of the truck. That little space hit perfectly. I was like, that's just, hey, I won a Super Bowl. Who cares? I lost my phone. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
But can you imagine that? It landed straight perfectly.
I mean, the gap is like insane.
And it wasn't like, I'm not, what's up?
05.
And it wasn't like I'm going to say, stop.
Right.
All right, forget it. Oh, well.
Just leave it there.
Yeah.
Get a new one.
All right, that's a better story. Bechtel, you got anything on wiffle ball?
Other than playing at really cool fields in Vermont.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia.
I'll save you here.
Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Sorry. I'll give you my theater story. Are you theater or theater?
Oh, I'm a theater guy.
Yeah.
RE at the end, not ER.
So I'm sixth grade. Same thing. I'm in this play. Who knows?
Did you do it all the way through high school?
No. Oh. Sixth grade, one and done.
Oh, no, I was cool in high school.
No. I'm a Kentucky basketball player, one and done. So part of what I had to do, though, is there was a box on the chair, and I had to sit down in the box, and there were some eggs in it. So I sit down. I didn't go far enough. I wake up. I look up, and I'm like, so I sit down again. Ain't nothing. So I did it a third time. Finally, I just said, there's supposed to be some eggs here. They're not happening anyway, and I just kept rolling. So tried to save you as a dumb story. I got your back, buddy.
Man.
That was bad.
Yeah. You guys, wow, you guys are doing it today.
And that's why.
I mean, that's 8 minutes worth of just theater stories.
Yeah.
You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I'm sorry I didn't play college football or play in the NFL. I got theater and crude to fall back
at
on.
At least have some good stories, though. People are driving in their car, getting ready for work, and you're talking about you and the old grandpa that you played with 9 lines in the damn Crucible. Don't nobody want to hear that.
Speaking of the Crucible, let's talk about Steelers' performance against the Jets.
Well, Doug, do you feel better, worse, or the same about the Steelers after week one?
I feel really good about Arthur Smith. I think when people talk about the Mike Tomlin effect, it will it showed up on a game like that. When you get outgained, but you find a way to win, you put your players in position to make plays to win the game, that's it. Are there some concerns? Absolutely. Is Aaron Rodgers going to make it through the year? Not at that pace. Is the running game the way they want it to be, or they profess they want to have a running game that's efficient and committed to? That didn't look like it. You pay Jaylen Warren, what, 12, 18 million, whatever it was, and he's not even starting. Defensively, you're going to be, I mean, everybody's talked about historic, whatever. You got punched in the mouth again.
By Justin Fields.
Again. Of someone you discarded.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about an offensive line that was a makeshift off of offensive line after you paid to your defensive linemen a bunch of money. So the win is a win. Great. And it reminds you of the Bengals win in 22 where they had four turnovers but still came back to win. So my point being is there's some positives, and I love it on the coaching side. But on the player side, which – kind of tail turns into the coaching side, there's a lot to be desired.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
A lot. And I know you guys talked about it, and I've been banging this drum for probably since after the season, player development. Keanu Benton, first year. Oh, we got something. Nothing since then.
He was terrible on Sunday.
Joey Porter, first year. We got something. Has regressed or even plateaued. Hasn't got better. There's nobody that we are talking about that's like, wow, man, I love that development. He came in at this, and he's there. Herbig was always a good pass rusher, still showing that. I just would be careful about putting Herbig in a prolonged exposure. He's probably best as that situation.
Less is more.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you look back at the offseason and you could redo it, would you, if you were Omar, pay a defensive lineman and draft? Like, do you think that that's the weakest link right now is the defensive line? Well, not the weakest link on the team because obviously the tackle's position on the offense. But if we look at the D-line, like, would you have paid somebody to come in and drafted? Or do you think that this is going to pan out with the two draft picks they have, obviously Harmon being out right now?
Yeah. I don't know if I would have paid somebody because you knew you would have to you're going to have to re-up with – they probably knew about Cam because Cam probably said something, and TJ. So then you're going to add some more, I think, the draft. But my thinking is – you're drafting, but if you look at, and I love Carl Dunbar, he was with us in Buffalo, but his resume and his body of work of what he's done with the talent that he has. He ain't John Mitchell. Far cry. And it hasn't. And now, is it scheme? Is it attitude? Whatever it is, all of it combined, that defense has to turn around. And it's right now, it's about pride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your last two performances, Baltimore and the Jets, and we're talking, and everybody was like, oh, the Jets stink, right? Everybody thought the Jets stunk. That's why Aaron Rodgers is here. And then to have a new coach, and yes, he's coming in, and he's obviously turned some things around, but the Steelers should not have gotten punched in the mouth like that again.
Mm-hmm.
Again. Come on now.
Well, the reason why I'm more encouraged than discouraged after week one is because that's a game they'd have lost the last 5 years. They got above-the-line quarterback play, and I think that's probably underselling how well Rodgers did play given the circumstances. But it did feel like a continuation of the end of last year in pretty much every other area. Where have they poured their resources to in the draft? Offensive line and defensive line. These last few years, and they're supposed to be building themselves in the image of the Philadelphia Eagles, What were the two aspects of the game where they played the most poorly? The offensive line and the defensive line. Not only was it not a strength, the two glaring weaknesses were the trenches.
Right.
Is it schematic with stopping the run, do you think, at all?
I don't think so. I didn't see the film, so I don't know if they were doing something that they didn't notice. But even if so, at halftime, you make adjustments. In the end, it's mano y mano. And I always revert back to Russ Grimm's Hall of Fame speech. There's no better feeling in the world than moving a man from point A to point B against his will. And the Jets did that to the Steelers all day long. So at the end, it comes back to pride and saying, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to whip this guy in front of me and start playing on the other line of scrimmage, other side of the line of scrimmage. And you never saw that.
Mm-mm.
And this is, and again, you could throw it out as an anomaly if you didn't see it against Baltimore. So, I mean, after a while, this is not an anomaly. It's starting to be a trend, which means that's who you are mm-hmm. after a while. You are not the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we all like to harken back to, oh, back in the day. But you ask anybody, 31 other teams, it was always win, lose, or draw, or what type of talent the Steelers had on their roster. When you went in to play them, you knew you had to tighten the chin strap up a little tighter. And when you walked out of there, you were like, we won, but we were in a fight. We had to fight. I don't think you can say that anymore.
No, they weren't hard to play against, borrow a Mike Sullivan term.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.